Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 16th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Paula Weber. She is from Jeremiah's Crossing. We're going to talk about the Family Fun Fest and car show event that they have coming up. Right now in studio, we have with us our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good to see you, sir.
You too, James. Morning. Appreciate afternoon.
It. I know. I was going to do it before you did, so it was one of us that was going to do the morning thing. And, of course, a big shout out to Joe and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big appreciation to them. Do yourself a favor, go on YouTube, type in your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to that page, keep up to date on all the great things that they got going on over there. We have a lot of great things going on in our area, sir. I had to take notes because I wanted to make sure that we cover everything.
Sounds good.
We're going to talk about the dog park, and I want to talk a little bit about the ShopGo building, the new hours at City Hall, and some of these things, too. But I'd like to start off with a conversation that came up at one of the recent board meetings, I believe, the ATV-UTV routes, getting into this a little bit. We've had some listeners, and I've talked to them. I kind of wanted to do a survey almost before we started the show, and I met with you and asked, well, is this an interest to you, or is this something that you would care about? And I asked about 10 people, and I would say half of them did not know what I was talking about. Right. So I thought right away, let's go ahead and get into what this even is and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah, that's a struggle that I'm finding out in government is we do not have one local source of information. You know, before, back in the day, you could turn on WFHR, you could get the Daily Tribune, and there you pretty much got everything. But now there's so many different media outlets and that people are taking in. It's hard to get out information on trying to get the public aware of what's happening at government meetings. And so, you know, that's probably the biggest issue. People, unless they follow government meetings, have any idea what's going on. And so I was glad that, City Times were able to do an article and kind of, you know, get that out there a little bit. But the discussion took place last night. And I've taken phone calls too. Some people are strongly against it. Some people are in favor of it. Some people really don't care. I've made my position pretty well known that I support it. I'm not going to go out and buy UTV. It's just not something at this point in my life that I have a time for. But I think that some of the concern, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. But
let's start here. Let's start what this is, being proposed.
Perfect.
What we're talking about here is the idea of ATV and UTV routes. And those routes interacting with some of our city roads and that. Right now, they currently don't really do a lot of that.
Correct. So the discussion is, do you do routes or do you just open up the roads?
Yeah.
And some of the thought is, if you do routes, you're really only benefiting people traversing through our city, but our local residents can't access those routes unless they technically trailer to the route. But also part of the problem is when you have routes, all the ATV traffic and UTV is funneled to those roads where they're going to see a higher volume. They say if you just open up the roads, you'll probably see less of it. And unless you have somebody that lives on your street that is a UTV user and they ended up, you know, going down that road. But so that's kind of the discussion is, you know, that's one of the things. Do we allow them? Do we have routes? Do we open it up? Those are some of the discussions that took place last night and will be continuing to take place.
It's certainly a big part of the state is offering this to, you know, community people and to people moving to the state, people moving to communities. A big part of the reason is, you know, outdoor activities. Sometimes there's evolve ATVs in this. We've also seen a big pull from our health department about this subject. And I thought that was an interesting to hear from them about this when it comes to, you know, drunk driving and some of the gray area with some of these laws when it comes to, you know, being intoxicated on an ATV and that. And how do we protect people? How do we protect citizens from themselves? So I thought that was another interesting angle of this too. However we fall on this one, we're not going to decide it today in this conversation, but I do think it's great that we're having the conversation. I think that can only benefit our community.
And I also was happy how council decided to handle this. You know, it came out in a legislative committee meeting, went to council last night, and the council decided last night whether they even wanted to pursue creating an ordinance. So that at least kind of put on record that if they were all against this at that time, they could have voted no and it would have ended there. But they voted, I believe it was 7-1 to approve creating the ordinance. Now, maybe a council person or two might drop off if they don't like necessarily the language in the ordinance. But that means they'll go to another committee meeting. It'll be talked about some more. It'll go to the council meeting again, be talked about. So it's not being fast-tracked. Yeah. And, you know, we want to make sure that we kind of put together an ordinance that addresses the concerns. You know, like you said, with drunk driving, you know, if you don't have a valid driver's license, you're not going to be able to operate on any of the streets. You know, I believe there'll probably be an insurance requirement. There'll be a time of day that you can't operate throughout the night. And so I think addressing some of those, you know, I think my concern is I don't know if it's best to have a 12-year-old driving down a UTV down one of our roads.
Agreed.
You know, I think they need to have a valid driver's license. Even even being in a company of an adult, I don't think it's makes sense for our community.
Yeah.
If you need to have a driver's license, you're going to be a vehicle on the roadway with all the other different types of vehicles that we allow on our roadways. And I think there should be kind of a standard to that.
We see all the time accidents happen with grown adults driving these things.
Right.
You know, and all the training in the world can't prepare you for real life situations sometimes. So I don't like taking fun away from anybody, but there's a big difference of that. And hey, we're protecting you from you oftentimes when it comes to some of this stuff.
Yeah, it was unique though, as they pointed out last night, some of the leaders of some of the groups around the state, you know, most of the people that were there were 50 plus, you know, and so, you know, it's, you know, there is a demographic. Obviously, you've got young kids that are younger people that like to do it, but it's really become a family thing. I know a number of people that will spend Sundays and they'll drive down to the Dells and get something to eat as a family, or go over to Wapaka and they'll spend hours, you know, as a family. And that, you know, with the health department that came and spoke, I was really impressed that, you know, they kind of recognize that, but they also, you know, they support this in the community. But, you know, obviously there's concerns on drunk driving and helmets and those kind of things that we need to work through. But, you know, I think there is more benefits than negatives at this point.
I understand that we've had ATVs, UTVs for a long time. We've kind of normalized them a bit. Mm-hmm. These are big machines. Mm-hmm. They're not a birthright. Mm-hmm. They're not a privilege. They're something that we earn in society, just like a driver's license. Mm-hmm. One of the pushes that I got with this was that, well, you know, some of these laws, I'm not going to be able to have one with the boys and get on the ATV and this and that. Good. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry you can't do that. I'm not going to apologize to you that you can't do that. You're not supposed to be doing that to begin with. Drinking and getting behind any vehicle. I'm not even sure if I'm okay with somebody drinking and getting behind a lawnmower. Like at this, in this day and age, I think we need to be a little bit more, a little less PC about drunk driving and about these things. Yeah, too lax about it for too long.
Even the state law, I believe it right currently now, and I know the UTV groups are working on it, but you're allowed to have open intoxicants.
Yeah,
And for me, that'd be a killer for me, is if that you could have open intoxicants driving down our streets, going through our community. You know, any other vehicle isn't allowed that. And so I don't think it belongs, or at least belongs in our city and on our streets.
A gigantic part of this state is its tourism. Mm-hmm. And we certainly aren't going to be taking anything away from that. But these things could take away from that. Locals could be taking away from that if we don't treat these laws right, if we're not doing these things right, they're going to be taken from us. It's happened before in society. It can happen again. We've got to prove that we are all adult enough to be able to do these things while also having a good time. You can do both. It's going to be interesting to see how this develops, though.
I agree.
One thing that you brought up there that I wanted to come back to about information, and you're so right about that, about the information. The other part of it that I found that we don't talk about enough, there's so many sources to get information, and people are concerned if it's the real information, if it's factual, and that has created it tough for info givers as well. You brought up the council and you guys having this information. I imagine that there are times, sir, when you're in your position, like, okay, I want to name a new dog park. What's the best way to get that information out there? Who's my trusted source to send that to? We're fortunate here locally. We've got a good relationship with the mayor's office, and you guys have a great relationship with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, of course, and that. But not everybody has something like an outlet like that. So I think that's an interesting part of the conversation.
Yeah, we struggle with that all the time, and just trying to get it out there so people are aware of it. And how do you do that?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you could do on the normal ways, but there's people that, you know, at least what we think are normal media streams may not be the normal for many other people. And yeah, that's a struggle. And it's, you know, because you want people to be aware, and there's nobody summarizing meetings coming up, and it's just, yeah, and it's a struggle that I think we'll have to endure forever, because it will never go back to single source media streams.
And it's one of those reasons why we encourage people to go to these council meetings if you can. And we understand that not everybody can do that, but boy, you could probably pull up your laptop or your computer. You can check out Wisconsin Community Media and check these out there. They do some really nice work over there with that and recording those. So being able to catch up on that stuff is available to everybody.
And you can sign up to get meeting notices through the clerk's website. So, you know, you can even just get them emailed to yourself. You can take a look at it, see if something interests you or not interests you. And if it is something of interest, you can easily watch on Facebook Live if you don't want to show up. Or, you know, thanks to community media, they record them all and they're out on the website. So you can go back and watch it if you want. And or even call your alderperson. If you see something on your agenda that you have a concern or a question about, call your alderperson. That's what they're there for. And ask questions and ask about it and ask them what they think and what they know, and or even after the meeting, call them. And so I think there's some ways, if you put just a little bit of effort towards it.
That's the word, effort. That's the a big shift in things. I know all of us might be from different generations or maybe the same one, but regardless, we all growing up, information was given to us. You turn on Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 13, whatever it is, and you watch your local 5 o'clock news, and you get caught up on everything, or you pull out the paper and read it. The information was handed to you. Now the effort is, and now you have to make an effort to find that information. That's more where we are going as a society. While that's happening, building that bridge of newsletters, sending email updates that board meetings are going on. I get, whenever they put a new video on your guys' web, on YouTube page, I get an update on that. These kind of things.
You could sign up for that.
It's kind of the modern way of that happening. I want to talk about the dog park. You know how bad I want to talk about that, but we can't get there yet. I wanted to do with you, sir, a little bit of a summer review. Kind of going over the last couple of months and how things have been going. We've touched on construction in this area, and I it feels good to be able to say, like, things are going well there.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to the people that oversee that, and the benefit of the weather this year, you know, they didn't have really a lot of shutdowns from rain. Does not help to grow grass, but getting the work done has kept everything moving right along. And, you know, Oak Street will hopefully be set to be paved here soon. And, and they're on to the next project and wait until the season wraps up again. But, yeah, they'll keep leapfrogging the projects and get what they can done this year. And we always kind of have a project in the back burner should the year go really well and we have a little more time, then we'll try to knock off a little bonus project.
We're going to look back years from now and look at this as the summer that our new jail was had, you know, shovels in the ground and that was being built. That has been pretty exciting to see developing. I can't go past there and not become 8 years old again in Chicago and seeing skyscrapers being built and stuff. Like, there's something about it to me that is so exciting.
Yeah, you don't always see, unfortunately, wish we saw more, but trains in the community, you know, and trains always mean something big's going on. And, you know, I was talking to the sheriff just before I got here, and even we were talking about reiterating, you know, the relationship between the county and the city through these projects, and other projects have been going really well, and it makes things run a whole lot smoother. And we're very fortunate with good relationships through the government and the departments, and Sean and I, and, you know, everybody else that's tied to these projects and their relationships with each other. And it's been pretty impressive, to be honest, because government is not always the most efficient, and it can be cumbersome, and, you know, we can do better, obviously, but this has been a very positive experience, I think, for everybody involved, aside from, you know, the cost, but that's just the nature of it.
Most things in life are going to cost.
Absolutely.
You know, that we've learned that if you're over five, you get that.
You know, 10 years ago or whatever, it would have been half the cost. But if we wait another 10 years, it's going to be double the cost. And so, the time was right and it was needed, and here we are.
The Cranberry Blossom Fest was successful, as our 4th of July celebration was successful. Some of our bigger events in the community went off without a hitch. That was nice to see.
Still didn't get our flyover.
Darn it.
I know, we applied.
One of these days.
We were hearing from them, and then it just kind of ended. Yeah. So maybe. We always look forward to try to get that. But my assistant, Emily, she always applies early and kind of works through that process. But yeah. Trying to get that secured for us, and so she does a great job doing that. And for one of these years, our numbers will come up again.
Yeah, it will. Our day's coming. For you, looking back at the last couple of months, is there anything that stands out to you or that you are proud of your office for, or anything that in particular?
I'm always most proud, not my office, but it's, you know, it's my team, and it's really about the people that provide services to the community, and I think we do a pretty good job, and can we always do better? Absolutely, but we have, I think, outstanding employees, and, you know, we work through the struggles there, and, you know, summer is a busy time for our staff. It's the go time, and they're managing a lot, and mowing, and street repairs, and filling potholes, and crack ceiling and chip ceiling and everything else they do, and, you know, and having them, you know, what they do is what I think is our success and my success.
Well said. Yeah, very well said, sir. We are speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I did want to remind people about the Veterans Honor Walk, and you can submit names for that. And also wanted to touch on the same place you can go to do that, wirapids.org. You can find new hours for City Hall. I know this has been out there for a while, but any chance we have to touch on it, I'd like to remind the audience.
So I personally have not heard a lot of negative feedback. You know, I think it's been going well and people are adjusting, and staff is, it's partially, you know, everyone says that we're here to serve the public, but as we talked about a little bit at our council meeting last night, it's trying to get people willing to serve the public, and that's becoming more difficult. And I think if we can create an environment where employees are happy and successful, that, it's better for the public also. And so I know this has been a good thing for the employees, but it's weighing, you know, the negatives with the positive. And I've not heard of too many people being left out because they couldn't get in City Hall in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going to come down to when they make the ultimate decision, because this is kind of a trial period. And after that, then they'll decide whether or not we'll continue going forward. But I haven't heard any feedback either way, to be honest, aside from I know the employees are happy with that, and if they can start their weekend a little sooner but still get their hours in. You know, for me, it's right away off the bat, I said, it's irresponsible to still to serve, put in your 40 hours of work and get the time in, because that's what they're being paid for, and they do an amazing job, and they account for their hours, and they're making sure they're getting them in, and that's the important part also.
If you had not heard, the new hours are, and as Mayor said, a trial period now until October 27th, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4:30. New Friday hours are 8 a.m. to noon. And I like the idea of that also, because those are some areas that usually people have free at some point, Monday through Friday. You've got a time slot in there at some point. And if you have to get to the City Hall for anything, you pretty much can cover it in those time slots.
So much of it's available online now. I know a lot of our building inspection, our building department permits and those things, people just go online and take care of them there. So the necessity of so much counter availability is not as great. You know, that came out, that's one of those things that came out of COVID, and people have adapted to that, and we see a whole lot less traffic around City Hall.
You and I are Facebook friends, and I noticed a post you put out a little while ago about a prairie dog exhibit coming to our wonderful Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo that I love visiting every 5 seconds, because it's right next door.
I think they're going to finish the glass work this week, and so now we're trying to figure out, because the zoo does close coming up here, and so it does. So we have this place prepared. Now you put the prairie dogs in there. Is there enough time for them to like develop their habitat their tunnels and their hibernation chamber or whatever they do? I haven't really researched prairie dog life cycle.
Yeah, I got no idea.
And so the discussion is: do we bring them in this fall and let them kind of get situated, or are we better off waiting till right away in the spring, and then they'll have the spring and summer and fall to kind of get ready for their winters? And I think there's like five of them that are going to be brought in, and don't know how fast they multiply, but there'll be five there.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. We're going to find out together, you and I. Exactly. There's a team building thing. We'll check out the Prairie Dog exhibit. Exactly. You, I, and Joe, we're all going to go over there together.
Take a camera over there and check out the Prairie Dogs and name them and go forward.
Yes, yes. I love this idea. Oh, this is happening now. I whether you like prairie dogs or not, I think that this is also just speaks to the growth of our zoo and that our zoo is growing or adding things. I think that's just noteworthy. I don't care what the animal is. We've got a kangaroo over here. We're doing these things. Like, that is pretty cool.
So we were fortunate enough to be bequeathed Teske family left. I wish I feel bad for not knowing the number, half a million or something like that. But they, part of that
endowment.
That money was to be used for creating new exhibits. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a time frame, and that's kind of coming up. And so, for whatever reason, we were slow on the go. So now they're coming up with ideas. And so, the kangaroo exhibit, the prairie dog exhibit, and they're looking at maybe doing another kind of like a covering possibly like the duck pond area and creating an indoor aviary a little bit with a bridge over the pond so you can kind of see and interact a little bit more. Also, I for me and talking with Jake, for our park and rec guy, our buildings and parks and buildings superintendent, there's some pens in there that are from the old style zoo where it's just concrete. And we want to create an extension to have some, like the fox pen. It's got a concrete and it's got natural habitat. We want to do that with three other exhibits in there to create some natural habitat for them.
Great idea.
Yeah, you know, I look in there. It's like, who wants to live on concrete the rest of their life?
Yeah,
or while they spend their time in rapids. And I think having some natural area for them to do whatever they do.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Dig holes and...
And it's a similar thing that we have with the dog park and why we wanted the dog park in this area for the very similar reasons. And this is kind of where I wanted to wrap up on. The city of Wisconsin Rapids is seeking community input on naming its dog park. I know it's exciting, Joe. Calm down. I know. No. You have now until September 1st at noon to help name the dog park. You can drop it off or send it, to wirapids.org/dogpark. Or you can drop it off at the Winter Park Aquatic Center or Wisconsin Rapids Park and Rec Department, South Oconee Humane Society, McMillan Memorial Library, Bow Wow Meow. We're also taking calls on the air here when we're live. We're letting people call in and get them to us, and we're writing them down. We've gotten a couple of them here. We got Play Pause Park is one of them.
That's a good one.
Dogs, 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 which I feel like, you know what? It's not bad. That's not bad. Got a couple of them here. We got one today, Woof Woof Walkaway. This one came from St. Paul. Like I thought that was kind of interesting.
Wow.
So we're getting plenty of names here. Have we seen some action on the website?
They've gotten so many names. It's been very popular, and a lot of people seem to be very excited about this. And so I think Park and Rec will pare the names down to a handful of them, and then we'll do a survey and kind of let the community vote on it from that point. But the Park and Rec Monday passed, or not passed, but they kind of shored up the rules for the dog park and some of those things. And I know the parking lot was just recently paved, so they've got some landscaping to do. We're talking about probably a concrete path from the parking lot to the entrances of both of the dog park areas. And so there's a lot of activities, and we're hoping maybe end of September-ish we can get that opened. And I was sent a picture. They mowed the grass out there here recently, so the grass is growing, which we had hoped for. And hopefully this rain that we had been getting and are going to get will help establish that and strengthen that grass and for the dogs.
Those rules that were set into place are pretty standard, stuff that we'd expect. If you've ever been to a dog park or heard of one, you pretty much know the rules that are going to be there.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing. Okay.
Yep. And so we'll get those out ahead of time, and we'll have a sign posted, and they'll be posted at the dog park. And we're excited about it.
The jail being developed, the Shopko building's getting filled, the dog park is right about there. Gotta feel pretty good.
Gotta feel good.
It feels good as a citizen, I imagine. It's gotta feel good in your position.
Yeah, Plan Commission talked, and Pizza will be building a new building, and Noodles and Company will be moving.
I'm looking forward to that.
And so there's just a lot of activity going on right now. And
when do you breathe? When do you get a chance to be just calm for a moment, relax for a moment?
Talk to my friends. I always felt I was really social and like to do things. Now it seems like when I'm not working, I just kind of like become antisocial, unfortunately,
because
it's like my time. I've never said I wanted to. I never would ever say that I want to be away from people, but I do enjoy some time away from people now, because it's always, you know, I went to my class reunion. It was great seeing a lot of people, but you know, the first thing, well, you're the mayor in Rapids, and I'm like, do we have to talk about this tonight?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
It was on a Saturday night, and here I am talking about work, and I'm like, you're killing me.
I get this. My sister was just giving me a hard time the other day. Like, when did you get boring? You were always exciting. It's radio. There's so much content. Talk. I get off radio. I just want to be.
Right.
I want to be. I don't want to talk about anything. Don't even ask me what the weather's like. You just want to relax and decompress a little bit.
I know my buddy called me, and he's like, hey, let's work on some deer stands on Thursday. And I was like, yeah, I'd gladly go out to the woods. You know, I cleared my schedule. I'm just going to go out and hang out in the woods on Thursday and work on some deer stands. And
there's no microphones in nature.
No microphones or nothing. It's just kind of you and the mosquitoes and a couple of buddies. But so, yeah, that's kind of been my life recently.
I hope you get a chance to relax coming up here in the last days of summer. And looking forward to talking again next month, Mayor. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, James.
Thank you, Joe, and all your team over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you all as well. We'll talk again next month some more. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.